Hi, and welcome to another microcast from TheForce.net. I'm Eric, your host, and in our microcast series, I'll be answering questions submitted by you, the listeners. Hey guys, sorry for the delay in the most recent show, but we've been having some technical difficulties, and I wanted to make sure that they were taken care of before we proceeded with further shows. And it looks like they are taken care of, so we'll have another full show out for you in the next couple of days. And for those of you who had issues with the last few shows, I'll be remixing them and making them available for direct download in the next set of show notes. In the meantime, I'm putting out a couple of microcast episodes. A listener calling herself Punky Brewster wrote in about my Phantom Menace review, saying, if Lucas had done the prequels the way Eric had described his fantasy prequels, wouldn't Anakin have to be the age he was in Attack of the Clones when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan encounter him on Tatooine to make the movie make sense? Eric wants Anakin to join them at the beginning of Phantom Menace and go into the events of Attack of the Clones by the end of Episode 1. So Anakin would have to be older than he was in the real Phantom Menace for the fact that he's fighting in the battles to make sense. Or would Eric rather have the movie jump years ahead, something no Star Wars movie has ever done before? While I'm not entirely comfortable with the idea, I'm suggesting that it jump ahead. Obviously, this presents its own set of problems, and it's difficult to pull off successfully in any movie, but I believe there are ways in which it could have been done, and as much as I don't think Lucas is good with dialogue or directing actors, I do believe he's a skilled enough filmmaker to pull this off. I'll go into more detail if I ever explore the issue again in a podcast. I'm not saying that it would have worked. I'm saying that I think it could have, and I'm wondering how it would have turned out if he'd done it that way. I believe it would have improved Episode 3 and probably would have helped out Episode 2, but Episode 1 still would have been at risk. However, enough people seem to dislike Episode 1 as it exists today that I wonder if maybe it would have been worth the risk. Thomas wrote in and said, I do agree that this film probably could have been a lot better, but I still regard it as a perfectly okay Star Wars movie. That's especially true now that the whole saga is complete. Compared to the tragic events of Return of the Sith, Phantom Menace can be looked upon as the happy days when the Republic was, sort of, functioning, and the Jedi Knights were out on fun adventures with happy endings. Jar Jar bothered me the first time I saw the film, but mostly because I'd heard so much negative about him already. When I watch the films today, he really doesn't bother me at all. I agree, Jar Jar's a lot easier to ignore now that the movie's aged a little bit. Thomas also writes, the only point of yours that I sort of disagree on is the final battle, which I see as fairly bland. The space battle is too much of the same old, same old. It was a typical Star Wars space battle. Outnumbered brave pilots try to blow up an evil structure. I'd have preferred something not seen before, a little creativity. And the battle on the ground seemed a little too clean and orderly, and CG. Like two armies of toy soldiers on a green-colored board. They should have gone for the chaotic look of the final battle of Attack of the Clones. Fortunately, as you mentioned, the lightsaber battle is magnificent and really saves the whole finale. Another listener, Alan, wrote in something similar regarding the CG effects. I just listened to your review of Episode 1 and it's dead on, except that I would have to say the visuals, to me, were unbelievable in a bad way. In both Episodes 1 and 2, there are some moments when I've been sucked out of the world of the film because the CG was just too obvious. This was not true of Episode 3, however. There I believed everything I saw. Well, to be fair, the effects for Episode 1, especially the Gungans and droids battle, was really good for its time. And keep in mind, CG has come a long way, even in the last 6 years. Back in 1999, this was the most impressive large-scale CG work we'd seen yet. Sure, looking back now, it had some distracting moments, but any film that relies that heavily on CG work is gonna have distracting moments. You know, I gotta say, though, what was more distracting to me than the CG work were the Nemoidians. The voices were awful, and I've seen Muppets with more expressive faces. But really, the CG work in Episode 1 didn't bother me that much. Sure, it's a little dated for now, but again, you gotta look at it for the time period in which it came out. I mean, if you look back on A New Hope and the effects that they used back then, it was all model work, and it was really good model work, but up until the recent DVD releases, we've been dealing with matte lines and, you know, the blocks around the fighters in space, and you know, we've managed to put up with that, and we saw that as revolutionary, groundbreaking special effects. I mean, you really have to be fair and look at it in the context of the time period in which it came out. And yeah, I know 6 years seems really, really recent, but when it comes to CG effects, there have been a lot of improvements since then. I hope you enjoyed today's microcast. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please email us at podcast@theforce.net. The opinions expressed here in this microcast belong to myself and to those listeners who wrote in, and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of other TFN staff members nor of Lucasfilm. TheForce.net is not affiliated with Lucasfilm in any way. This podcast is copyright 2005 TheForce.net, and all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care, and may the Force be with you.